IVM.
Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast supported by Pragati, a flagship media initiative of the Takshashila Institution. We're a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like to bring a fresh perspective to Indian affairs and an Indian perspective to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
Hello and welcome to All Things Policy. So 2022 has seen a lot of interesting developments in the tech policy space. We have seen the CCI making headlines time and again. The long-pending Personal Data Protection Bill was withdrawn, and within a few months, a revised Digital Personal Data Protection Bill was released for public comments. Now, there have been a lot of developments in the space last year, and we can expect more of the same this year too. So my name is Bharat Reddy, and joining me is my colleague, Shailesh Chitnis, who is a fellow at the High-Tech Geopolitics Program at Takshashila. Welcome, Shailesh. So as we get started with this new year and look at what we can expect in the tech policy space this year, what we thought is that we'll try to have a conversation around three broad areas of tech policy. One is upcoming legislation, then the antitrust judgments, and digital public infrastructure. So let's start off with the first of these areas, which is what we can expect in the tech policy legislation in this year. So to start off with, the draft Digital India Act is expected to be released for public consultation early this year. And this is expected to replace the Information Technology Act of 2000. And it'll be India's core legal framework for regulating internet entities. So Shailesh, what can we expect from this? How do you think, what will be the scope of this? And how do you think this is going to, what can we expect in this space?
Sure. So the government has promised to release the draft. I think they're promised at the end of December. So I'm guessing sometime this quarter, it should be out for review. Now, this bill, whether it is the Digital India Act or Digital India Bill, I think it's going to be a major piece of legislation in the technology space. And this act or bill is going to have far-reaching consequences for both business and civil society. Because as we discuss on this podcast, a lot of the problems now have an intersection with technology in some form or the other. So if you think about most of the rules that govern technology platforms today, they are based off the IT Act of 2000. And subsequently, you have amendments and kind of additions to that. But that was the core act. And as you can imagine, since 2000, the internet that existed then and what exists today is very different. For example, digital platforms are now completely different. You have e-commerce platforms, you have digital media, social media, payment platforms, gaming. So you have different kinds of digital platforms. There's no one type of digital platform. And so legislation needs to account for that. And based on public statements, what we heard from the government, we have, of course, not seen a draft. What we can decipher is that the focus of the bill is going to be broadly on openness of internet, safety, and accountability. So on openness, the stated stance is to prevent any state, government, or individual platform from distorting free and open nature of the internet. On safety, the government has indicated that they'll be defining which behavior will be within the purview of the criminal code, and which will be unique to the cyberspace. So in theory, they should make it easy to identify, block, and even persecute online harm and kind of bad behavior. And finally, on accountability, it seems to be about giving more power to consumers in dealing with technology platforms, because right now it's fairly disproportionate with consumers having very little power. So the kind of stated goals are openness, safety, and accountability. And one of the key pillars, it seems, is that the bill is going to treat digital platforms or intermediaries, as the government calls it, differently. And so based on what function they perform, they are going to have different thresholds of accountability and punishment. Now, all these kind of principles are fairly noble and very hard to argue against. But if you look at the past, this government has been fairly open to using internet shutdowns, content censorship, and has enacted broad carve-outs for state actors in its legislation. So we really need to look at what the exact draft is to see how much is the gap between the stated principles and the actual implementations before we can actually comment further.
Right. I think there's also going to be a change in the definition or how the word intermediary is going to be interpreted. There might be intermediaries for different types of platforms, like you mentioned. So, and there's also expected to be a regulator which will enforce all of these, the act itself. So So it'll be really interesting to see how effective that regulator will be and how this actually will be implemented. And over the past 20 years, there's obviously been a very big change in how we use the internet, and there's been a rise of platforms. And with that, there's also been the understanding of digital harms has also changed. So there is a very big need that regulation needs to address. And it'll be really interesting to see how the government goes about this and how effectively they can address this.
Absolutely.
So continuing with the tech policy legislation, which we can expect next year, towards the end of 2022, we saw the draft Personal Digital Data Protection Bill and the Telecom Bill, which were up for public consultation. And both of them have been criticized for allowing broad exemptions to the state and enabling greater surveillance. Now, the Personal Data Protection Bill has also rolled back on some of the data localization requirements which were present in the earlier versions. And there's been, let's say, less restrictions for businesses in the recently released versions. So now both of these bills are expected to be tabled in Parliament this year. And together with the Digital India Act, they will form a very comprehensive tech regulatory framework for India. So from the perspective of businesses or civil society, how do you think, what will be the impact of these, of this regulatory framework?
Yes, so I think if you think about it, for a long time, the technology space in India was fairly lightly regulated. There were rules, but it wasn't that tightly regulated. But suddenly over the last 12 to 18 months and going forward in the next 12 months, as we've been discussing, there are a lot of different regulations coming in, not just from MeitY, which is the Ministry of IT, but also different organizations that touch on the tech space, right? So there is a lot of activity going on in this space. And specifically as it pertains to the acts that we've been talking about, the government has spoken of these regulations as part of what they call, quote unquote, global standard cyber laws. So first, of course, was the Digital Personal Data Protection Bill, which is already out in draft form and which we've covered on this podcast, which basically lays out the rights and duties of citizens and the obligations of data fiduciaries. The second, which we haven't covered, but also I think the government considers it as part of their standard cyber laws, is a National Data Governance Framework Policy, which I believe came out sometime in July or August of last year, which focused on providing access to non-personal data sets and anonymized data sets. And the third is the Digital India Act, which we just talked about, which specifically deals with openness of internet safety, trust, so on and so forth. So the government has spoken about these three regulations in conjunction to kind of setting the framework and defining the language of technology policy going forward. Now, the intent, at least as they have talked about it, is for it to be light on regulation so that innovation is not hampered while consumer rights are protected. But I feel like finding this balance isn't easy. And if you actually dive into some of kind of language of each of these laws, you'll see that it is very detailed and very specific in terms of the requirements that it introduces on the digital platforms, the intermediaries, the users. And so I worry that we are swinging from one extreme where we didn't have too much regulation, the other extreme where we are kind of defining and having over-regulation, and we may be hindering one of the consistent kind of standouts in the Indian economy, which is the tech space. So finding that balance is going to be very important. And let's review the drafts, but that would be one worry based on all these kind of regulations that are coming down the pipe.
Right. On the data localization requirement, do you expect that? I mean, it was rolled back and that will make a big difference for businesses, right? So there was a lot of pushback from big tech companies that weren't for this idea. And do you think the Digital India Act might have something related, or is it something that we have moved past?
I think we've moved past the notion of data localization because now we have come up with the concept of, I forget what the exact term was, but essentially safe harbors where the data can be, different countries where they can be, So I think we've moved beyond that. But if you think about where a lot of conflict happens between technology platforms and the government, it is in kind of what you talked about, the responsibilities of the intermediaries. Now, the IT Act, there was an amendment to that, and there was a intermediaries kind of framework that was put in place, which essentially defined a lot of requirements on intermediaries in terms of, if I'm a social media platform, I need to be able to identify, for example, where the first message originated And from that point on, I need to be able to act on it, right? So there were very different and very specific requirements that were put in place. And also the bar for what constitutes as a social media platform was defined fairly low, which is just 5 lakh users, which is fairly low in India. So things like these, I think, is where a lot of conflict is going to happen, because it directly hinges on some of the business models for some of these organizations, as well as implementation may not be as easy as, for example, what the government perceives. So finding that balance is going to be challenging. And that is where I kind of went back to the point about, are we over-regulating certain sectors, specifically the tech sector that has been a standout in the Indian economy?
Right. And when it comes to enforcing this regulation, I think the government might still be able to, you know, monitor or some of the biggest tech companies, but there'll be a long tail of smaller and mid-sized companies, which will be very difficult given the state capacity that we have, right? So enforcing this kind of a compliance from all tech platforms will be a very big challenge indeed.
Exactly. And if I'm a startup, I'm initially not going to have the resources to have a very large compliance team. Obviously, you do need compliance. You need to be able to keep out, obviously, bad content and things related to that. But I'm definitely not going to have the resources that are required in terms of the compliance requirements that are there from an intermediary standpoint. So I think there needs to be a balance, obviously.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll just take a quick break and we'll be back to discuss the other two areas that we had mentioned. So welcome back, Shailesh. Now we can move on to the antitrust regulations. So last year we saw that the Competition Commission was making headlines with its ruling against Google and Make My Trip, again citing the abuse of market dominance. Now this has been unusual given the stand of the regulator over time, right? So this is something that was not the usual. And now Google is also challenging these verdicts legally. You know, and so what can we expect, you know, from these antitrust judgments this year? Will there be more of them? How can we expect these to be? Will it be a long drawn battle in court? What do you think?
Yeah, so short answer is yes and yes. I think like this is going to be one area that is going to be very active for a couple of reasons. So First and foremost is that unlike the past, I think a lot of big tech companies are vulnerable given where their businesses are at this point. And so previously where they were not so constrained by either the top or bottom line, right now they're definitely constrained at the bottom line and are vulnerable in a way that I don't think big tech was before. So that's number one. Number two is the government has also signaled its intention that it is very keen on shaping India's technology landscape in a particular way. So you have the combination of these two trends, which means that there is going to be more and more clashes between regulatory authorities and technology platforms in the coming years. That I think is a given. Like you mentioned, we've already seen Google has appealed the CCI ruling of last year, where they were fined almost, I think, 2,300 crores for abusing their dominance with its Android operating system in the Play Store. And we can expect to see that kind of battle play out in the courts over the coming year. I think that the next battleground will be the App Store Commission that both Apple and Google earn as gatekeepers of their app stores. So if you think about it, both Apple and Google earn something like 30% of all the revenue that makes it through their app store. And that's a pretty significant chunk that all app developers have to pay merely to get listed on these app stores. Now, there are some exceptions that they've made, but for more practical purposes, it is 30%. And for a long time, app developers and startups have been kind of saying that this is an anti-competitive issue. This is not something that's fair where you give up such a large chunk of your revenue directly to these companies. So I do feel like this is going to be an upcoming battle. And we can expect both of these companies to fight this pretty hard because it is a fairly big chunk of revenue for each of these companies. So that is one battleground that I see coming up in the next year. There's also an interesting development last year where basically towards the end of December, a parliamentary standing committee recommended that the government enact a Digital Competition Act specifically to regulate anti-competitive business practices by big tech companies. And the idea was to have a similar law to, for example, the Digital Markets Act that is there in the EU, because it is felt that the traditional antitrust regulations are not sufficient for the dynamic nature of online marketplaces. So this, I think, is a significant development. And if it goes ahead, the discussion around this Digital Competition Act, what is its remit, what does it entail, and how does it impact big tech? That could also be something that will be pretty interesting to kind of observe.
Right. I think the App Store commissions is something that all of us are directly impacted by, right? So you see that some apps try to bypass this by not having the purchases on the app itself, but having a web version which supports the purchases. And then all of those will be visible on your app. So it's a lot of hurdles that apps go through to avoid them. Or if they're not trying to do that, it just makes things more expensive for everybody. So this could maybe increase competition, bring down costs, could benefit both the businesses as well as the consumers. So it'll be something, I mean, that we can all look forward to. So lastly, I think we can come to digital public infrastructure. Now, DPI has transformed how we exchange money, how we authenticate ourselves, and many other aspects of our lives. So India's digital public infrastructure has been, lauded across the world. And as we are hosting the G20 presidency this year, there's also an effort to showcase the different applications of this infrastructure and how it can be adopted by other countries as well. Now, as we move into the next year, there's also a lot of other facets of the infrastructure which are expected to be rolled out. Some of them include the Open Credit Enablement Network and the Open Network for Digital Commerce and a bunch of other things. Now, when we look at all of these together, it kind of impacts every interaction that we have with the government. And then there's also a lot of areas where markets are being, like the ONDC, for example, is expected to be a platform for e-commerce where different e-commerce platforms will register onto it. And it's supposed to challenge the power that the bigger platforms hold right now. So on the digital public infrastructure generally, how do you think it's going to play out in the next year? And what will be the impact on businesses and society? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, this is one of the areas where India can legitimately claim to lead the world. The success of UPI and then the subsequent digital stacks and other verticals, they've all been pretty positive developments. And to be fair, some of these are going to work and some of these will fail, and that's okay. I think it's the agility and openness to adapt to new frameworks and test them out on the kind of open market that is important. So I'm particularly interested in how ONDC, which is the Open Network for Digital Commerce, disaggregated e-commerce platform, how that shapes up. So last year we had limited pilot trials for ONDC, but if it can establish itself as a kind of viable alternative or eventually the base layer for e-commerce transactions, I think that will open up the space for a lot of innovation. So that is something I'm quite interested in. The second is continued adoption and rollout of the national health stack. So this, I think, represents a huge opportunity for India to really kind of leapfrog its kind of entire health ecosystem. So the national digital health stack or the national health stack has defined kind of a set framework as well as models for how data gets accessed, how patient data gets stored, how do you do that in a safe and compliant manner. And if that starts getting used by more and more kind of providers, entities, healthcare providers, that then starts to formalize a lot of healthcare ecosystem in India. Because today, one of the challenges is a lot of healthcare is, I would say, quote unquote, off the grid. And so a lot of the patient information, patient data, a lot of those transactions are not really recorded. And so if that can actually be digitized, if we can actually have a patient privacy safe national health data, I think that then starts to become very interesting and opens up kind of a whole host of opportunities for us. So these are the two areas that I'm really looking at this year.
Right. And I think on the health stack, you had mentioned that it will also enable, we had discussed earlier, I think privately, that it also enables research when you have, it could enable research in the sense that when you have a lot of these data and if it's anonymized and made available for research, a lot of the data sets currently in use are based on samples in, say, Western countries. And it might not accurately reflect how a certain medicine would affect, say, an Indian demographic, right? So that could also be something that will come out of something like this.
Correct, because I think diversity in clinical trials is becoming increasingly important. When any kind of medicines are developed, not surprisingly today, they're developed first in the West because that's where a lot of the demand as well as the revenue comes from. But of course, diversity while you're developing medicines, as we've all realized during COVID, it's not limited to any one particular demographic. It's global, right? So if you can actually have more diversity in clinical trials, in drug development, in how we look at different health conditions, I think all that is for the net benefit. And being able to have digital patient records, being able to access it, being able to exchange it in a safe and compliant manner, I think that becomes huge, particularly when you're talking about things that happen at the scale in India. So anytime things get adopted in India, you're talking about literally hundreds and millions of users. So that scale instantly opens up a whole host of opportunities.
Right. One of the things I'm looking forward to is the Open Credit Enablement Network. So there's been a lot of work done already on the account aggregator framework, and along with the Credit Enablement Network, it could kind of make access to credit much easier for small and medium businesses. So whether it's access to credit for a short period of time, or just knowing the credit history of your customer so that you can, you know, lend something based on their credit history. So all of these would become much more seamless, and it could really change how businesses are done. So all of these, I think, will bring in a lot of efficiencies, whether it's between businesses, individuals, or with the government. And that's something I think which we can look forward to seeing. But one of the concerns that I have is when you have a lot of these platforms which are interconnected and which are gathering a large amount of data, you see that there is a lot of efficiency that comes out of it, because you have more data, you can connect it with different data sets, different services, and you make things efficient, you make it seamless, everything seems to work very well. But it's also at the cost of privacy. So now a lot of your privacy is being offered in exchange for this efficiency or convenience. Now, we need to, I think, be vigilant about how, especially given the exemptions granted to the government under the Personal Data Protection Bill, how exactly will our privacy be impacted by these things? These are something that all of us as individuals or as society need to be cognizant of. And there needs to be more debate around it. There needs to be more awareness around this. That's, I think, something that I would like to end this on. Any final closing comments, Shailesh?
No, I think you summarized it well. A lot of interesting things that are going to happen this year. But like you mentioned, finding that balance between innovation, privacy, and our kind of personal rights, I think that is going to, finding that sweet spot is going to be the challenge.
Right. Okay. I hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll be back again tomorrow. Thank you, everyone. Yeah. Thanks, Shailesh.
If you liked our show, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can tune into them on the IVM Podcast app, ivmpodcast.com, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow IVM on social media. The handle is @IVMPodcasts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And hey, if you'd like to dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs, check us out at our Twitter handle @TakshashilaInst. Or our website, takshashila.org.in.